wounds of the heart. Ya Allah, save me from the sins of the heart. Ya Allah, save me from the sins of the heart.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. Amma ba'd. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah wa ala alika wa sahabika ya Habiballah. As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Nabiyallah wa ala alika wa sahabika ya Nurullah. Welcome back to this program, Sins of the Heart. Alhamdulillah, we are now in our 27th episode, in which we will discuss regarding promises, breaking a promise. What is the harms of breaking a promise? Like usual, let's first listen to a blessing or sending salawat upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The final Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, "Adorn your gatherings by reciting salat upon me, as this will be nur, light for you on the day of judgment." Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasahabihi wa barik wasallim. Promise. To break a promise means to break a mutual agreement that you have made with an individual. And there are many verses in the Quran and many ahadith regarding promises. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says in the Quran, "Indeed, the worst beasts in the sight of Allah are the people who disbelieve and do not accept faith. Those with whom you made a treaty, then they break their agreement each time and do not fear." Hazrat Allama Maulana Sayyid Muhammad Naeemuddin Muradabadi explains his verse in Khazain al-Irfan. "Indeed, the worst beasts," and the following verses were revealed regarding the Jews of the Bani Qurayza tribe, who had made an agreement with the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to refrain from fighting against the Muslims or aid any other army that intended to fight them. They broke this agreement by supplying weapons to some Meccan polytheists who waged war against the final Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They later apologized to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and fabricated the excuse that they had forgotten about the agreement, consequently made a mistake. A second agreement was made, but that too was broken. Thereafter, Allah Azza wa Jal declared these people to be the worst of all animals, because disbelievers are the worst of animals anyway. And on top of being disbelievers, if they are also dishonest, then this is worse. And then Mufti Sahib explains the words, "Do not fear." They do not fear breaking an agreement with Allah, nor are they ashamed of disobeying Him. Even though dishonesty is a shameless crime in the eyes of any intelligent man, and nobody trusts a dishonest person. If his shamelessness reaches this degree, then there is no doubt that he is the worse than animals. And the hadith which is narrated by Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar radiyallahu anhuma, narrated that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Any Muslim who breaks agreements and promises is cursed by Allah, His angels and all humans, as well as this no obligatory or voluntary nafal deed that he does will be accepted. Abiding by agreements is compulsory for every Muslim, while dishonesty is forbidden, haram, and will lead to hell." One of the conditions in the Treaty of Hudaybiyah was that any Arab tribe wishing to make an agreement with the Quraysh tribe should do so whilst anyone wishing to make an agreement with the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam should make it with him. Based on this, the Bani Bakr and the Quraysh agreed to support each other, whilst the Banu Khaza made an agreement with the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to support each other. Both tribes lived near Makkatul Makarma, but ancient hostilities were still brewing between the two. For a long time, the infidels of Makkah and other Arab tribes had exerted all their might on battling against the Muslims. But when the Treaty of Hudaybiyah established some level of peace in the region, the Banu Bakr tribe was thirsty for revenge from the wicked men of the Banu Khaza for their old animosity. Consequently, they joined forces with their opponents, the Quraysh infidels, and broke the agreement by attacking the Banu Khaza. During this attack, all the Quraysh chiefs and leaders murdered descendants of the Banu Khaza. The helpless Banu Khaza were unable to withstand this vicious and brutal attack and subsequently fled to the Kaaba in order to save their life. The men of Banu Bakr refrained from drawing their swords within the vicinity of the Holy Kaaba due to their respect for it. But Nawfal, the leader of Banu Bakr, was so out of control due to his thirst of revenge that he continued to barbarically murder the Banu Khaza even within the vicinity of the Holy Kaaba, while provoking and inciting his tribesmen, telling them that they would not face such a golden opportunity again. Consequently, those barbaric and merciless animals broke their treaty and even lost their respect for the Holy Kaaba, while savagely shedding the blood of the Banu Khaza inside the sanctuary. The infidels of Quraysh also took full part in this savage massacre. But if you use a Madhichan, we learn from here how the disbelievers, this is a quality, an attribute of disbelievers, who they break promises. And there was once a king of Arm named Nu'man bin Munzir, who fixed 2 days in a year. One day he would give favors and honors to people among the masses who would meet him first, and there was another day which would kill the person who would meet him first. A person from Tay tribe came out of his home after being sick of poverty and hunger, and came across Nu'man bin Munzir. The same day which he would get the one killed who he would meet first, and unfortunately he was the first person who he met. When the person felt sure that he would be killed, he asked the king, "It is the same whether you murder me now or in the last part of the day, but I have small children and my wife and children are hungry. If you give me a little grace period, I'll be able to manage food and leave a will for them." The king had mercy on his condition and asked him, "Who will guarantee your return that in case you don't, he'll be killed in place of you?" That person looked towards a companion of the king, Shariq bin Adi, and requested him to be his guarantor. Shariq bin Adi agreed to become his guarantor. The person left. When the afternoon passed, the king told Shariq, "The afternoon has passed and he hasn't arrived yet." Shariq said, "We have time until the evening." When evening was about to begin, the king said to Shariq, "Your time has come, therefore now get ready to be killed." Shariq said, "I can see a person coming and I think he is the same person from the Tay tribe. You kill me if he is not the same person." When the person came close, it became obvious that he was the same person who went to his home after making Shariq his guarantor. Seeing him, the king lowered his head for a while, then raising his head told him, "Oh, the person of Tay tribe, you have set a great example of keeping a promise." The king then told Shariq, "Oh Shariq, you have sent a great example of kindness and favor. Listen, I abolish the killing day from today because of you both." The king then said to the person who was from the tribe Tay, "What urged you to keep your promise, though in keeping promise you were about to lose your life?" He replied, "It is my religion to keep the promise, and the one who does not keep his promise has no religion." After hearing this, the king gave him favors and honors and sent him back to his family members with great respect. Dear viewers of Madinah Channel, from this mentioned parable, it can be judged that people in the past had deep passion for helping others. Favor and sympathy, brotherhood are keeping promise. In trouble, when a person is very near to death, let alone the strangers, even family members, leave him. Those who claim to sacrifice their lives also stop supporting, and instead of keeping their promises, they break their promises and deceive. However, the mercy of Allah does not disappoint the ones who firmly practice their religion, have the fear of Allah in their hearts, keep promises, and whose hearts are filled with the sacred passion for helping Muslims, but rather help them when they face any trial or test. Not only are they blessed with grace and favor, but other people also stay safe from the destruction for their sake. Therefore, we should also try to understand the pain and suffering of distressed Muslims and help them when they are in trouble. We should console and support them by every permissible means, as great excellence of helping Muslims has been stated in a blessed hadith. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu narrated, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated, one who removes any trouble of a Muslim in the world, Allah will remove the trouble of that person on the Day of Judgment. One who relieves a poor person, Allah will relieve him in the world and in the hereafter. One who covers up the faults of any Muslim, Allah will cover up his faults in the world and the hereafter. Allah continues to help the bondman as long as he continues to help his brother. Elaborating on this hadith, Mufti Ahmad Yarhan has narrated, if you remove someone's trouble, Allah will remove your permanent hereafter's trouble. If you provide temporary comfort to the true believer in this world, Allah will provide everlasting comfort in the hereafter. Because the reward for favor is favor. This hadith is very comprehensive. Even if you remove a thorn from the foot of a Muslim, it will not go to waste. The blessed hadith does not mean that one will get only reward on the judgment day, but rather he must get his reward on the judgment day, though sometimes he may get it in the world as well. He, rahmatullahi ta'ala, has further said, the one who forgives or gives a grace period to the debtor, removes the poverty of a poor person, so inshallah his difficulties will be removed in the world and in the hereafter. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And other verses of the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa mentions regarding promises, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he gives the importance and the virtues, and he warns regarding the punishments for breaking a promise. As he mentions in Surah Bani Israel, verse 34, para 15, وَأَوْفُوا بِالْأَهْدِ إِنَّ الْأَهْدَ كَانَ مَسْئُولًا. And fulfill the promise. Indeed, question will be asked on the Day of Judgment regarding the promise. Regarding this blessed ayah, the commentator of the Quran, Sayyidina Ismail Haqqi, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, has said, the commandment of fulfilling a promise has been given in the blessed ayah, no matter whether the promise is to Allah or his bondman. Promise to Allah is to worship and obey him. Further, promise to bondsmen includes every permissible promise. We are not good at all regarding keeping promises, but rather it has become a part of our nature to break promises. Leaders break promises after making them to their nation, and people break promises after making them to each other. It is stated in Tafsir Tabari, undoubtedly Allah will inquire the promise breaking person. Therefore, O people, not break the promise which has been made between you and someone else, lest the act of breaking the promise will lead to fraud. In Ayah 20 of Surah Ra'ad, part 13, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the eminence of promise keeping. Those who fulfill the pact of Allah and do not default on the covenant. Regarding this breath ayah, the commentator of the Holy Quran, Sayyidina Ismail Haqqi, rahmatullahi ta'ala, has said, i.e. the good end in the hereafter is only for those who fulfill the promise they have made to Allah, because they bear witness that He is Rabb and obeys His orders. They do not break the promise they may have made to Allah and the agreement they have made with the people. In Ayah 8 to 11 of Surah Al-Mu'minun in Para 18, promise-keeping people have been given the good news of Jannat al-Firdaws, subhanAllah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and those who are protected of their trust and their promise and who guard their salah, they are the inheritors. That these people will get the inheritance of paradise, they will abide in it forever. Regarding this verse, ayah number 8 of Surah Al-Mu'minun, Sayyid Mufti Muhammad Naim bin Murad Abadi, rahmatullahi ta'ala, has said, whether the trust belong to Allah or people, similarly, whether the promise is made to Allah or people, all are mandatory to be fulfilled. Regarding this blessed ayah, Sayyid Alama Qurtubi, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he mentions Tafsir Qurtubi, that fulfilling every type of responsibility which a person takes, whether it belongs to religion or the world, conversation or character, is the special distinction of a Muslim. Dear viewers of Madhi channel, have you heard how important is promise in Islam and how fortunate are promise-keeping people? The importance and dignity has been stated in a beautiful manner in the blessed verse of the Holy Quran. Therefore, as a Muslim, the way we expect from others that no one will break a promise made to us, deceive us, but rather they will keep the promises, in the same way, we should also be accustomed to it. Whenever we make a promise to someone else, we should also fulfill the promise without any delay instead of breaking it. However, if there is a fear that we will not be able to keep the promise, then we should avoid making a promise, as it is very easy to make a promise, but very difficult to fulfill it. Advising his son, Abdul Malik Muhallab bin Abi Sufra said, O son, do not take the lead in making a promise, because it is easy to make a promise, but difficult to fulfill it. At times, breach of promise breeds malice and hatred. Sayyidina Dawood alayhi salam has stated, do not make a promise to anyone which you cannot fulfill, otherwise malice will breed between you and him. Dear viewers of Madin channel, have you heard how beautiful and excellent advice the beloved Prophet of Allah, Sayyidina Dawood alayhi salam, has given? In fact, he alayhi salam, has given us a very nice method of staying safe from malice and hatred. Unfortunately, a lot of people breach promise, and this has become a very common in our society. This deadly disease of breaking a promise has almost covered people from every walk of life, whether child or elder, men or women, the old or the young, offspring or parents, rulers or subjects, officers or servants, nigran or subordinates, doctor or patient, skilled worker or helper, seller or customer, landlord or tenant, teacher or student, relative or neighbor, worldly person or person having Islamic appearance. In short, due to the curse of breach of promise, malice, hatred and personal grudges are increasing among Muslims. Remember, breach of promise is a grave sin, an impermissible and haram act, an act leading to hell. Very stern warnings have been given in blessed ahadiths for breaking promises. Some ahadiths are as follows. The one who breaks a promise to any Muslim is cursed by Allah, his angels and all humans. Neither any of his farz or nafal acts will be accepted. Allahu Akbar. In the Sunan of Abu Dawood, people will not perish unless they break their promise to their people. In Al-Mu'jam Al-Awsat, promise is like a debt. Destruction is for him who makes a promise and then goes back on it. Destruction is for him, destruction is for him. In Sahih Al-Bukhari, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, there are three signs of hypocrite. When he talks, he lies. When he promises, he does not fulfill it. When he is entrusted with something, he misappropriates it. Regarding this hadith, Mufti Shariful Haq Amjadi has said three such signs of hypocrite have been stated in the hadith, which belong to saying deed and intentions. Lie is a disorder of speaking. Misappropriation is the disorder of deed. And breach of promise is a disorder of intention. The one who is a hypocrite will surely possess these three things, but it is not necessary that the person who possesses these three bad characteristics will be a hypocrite. Therefore, if a Muslim possesses these bad characteristics, it is not permissible to call him a hypocrite. However, it can be said that he bears the signs of hypocrisy. My dear viewers, Madin channel, we have learned the harms of promise, breaking promises, and what are the causes of this? The first cause is the lack of fear. If a man does not fear Allah, there's no sin that he will refrain from committing. The cure for this is for you to contemplate about your hereafter. Scare yourself of the independence of Allah. Contemplate about your death. Tell yourself, Allah forbid, tomorrow on Judgment Day, due to this dishonesty, if Allah is displeased with me, then what will I do? Second cause of breaking a promise is love of this world. An individual usually commits the abhorred act of dishonesty due to some type of material profit. The cure for which is for you to contemplate about the detriments of loving the world. Falling in love with this world is a source of many, many evils. Anyone who suffers from the deadly disease of worldly love will find the doors of many other sins automatically burst open for him. Without doubt, a wise individual will only be interested interest himself with this world according to the duration that he intends to live here, and only utilize his time to prepare for the hereafter. The third cause of breaking promise is deception, the cure for which is for you to contemplate about the despicable harms of dishonesty. There are blessed hadiths which state that deceivers are not from amongst us. Undoubtedly, deceiving or being deceived does not befit any Muslim. A deceiver will eventually face humiliation. When the people become aware of deception, he will no longer be able to show his face to anyone. Furthermore, a deceiver will also be embarrassed and humiliated in the court of Allah. The fourth cause of breaking a promise is ignorance. How can a person avoid breaking promise when he is unaware of the nuisance of his fated disease? He could cure this by contemplating about the harms of dishonesty. Dishonesty does not suit a Muslim. Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the great Sahaba, and other saints, rahimahumullah ta'ala, were never dishonest with anyone. Dishonesty ends in extreme humiliation and embarrassment. Tomorrow, on the Day of Judgment, dishonest people will be identifiable by flags displaying the degree of their dishonesty. Another cure for dishonesty is for you to pray to Allah in a manner like this. Oh Allah, save me from the fatal disease of dishonesty. May I never be dishonest with any Muslim. Ameen bi jahi nabiyil ameen. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Sins of the heart, Ya Allah, save me from the sins of the heart. Ya Allah, save me from the sins of the heart.